Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations. The show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. We can book all your Disney travel needs. Contact us at americantouristtravel.com. And it's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to rent any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at David's Vacation Club Rental or DVCRequest.com. And now on with the show.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You didn't drink too much eggnog for Christmas, did you?
No, just one glass. Just one. That's too rich for me.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Now, we're also joined by our good buddy John, who just throws the eggnog in the trash and grabs the whiskey. How you doing tonight, John?
Cheers, fellas.
How you doing, buddy?
Just fine. How you guys doing?
Good. How was your Christmas, my friend?
Good. Hot, but good.
Here he is. He's got to dig right away at the weather.
Hey, don't you love it?
But I think y'all are having a pretty warm winter so far, too. So
today was 62.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't bad today, but it's going to go cold again tomorrow. See, we don't get it for long. When it dips cold for you, it would be balmy for us. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, but, I think they're predicting a nor'easter for us on Thursday or Friday or something, I heard. So it's going to turn quickly. You're right.
Yeah, and that's not going to be nice. No. But before we get started and celebrate and everything, we want to give out our condolences. We lost a podcasting friend out there from the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast. You know, our buddy Alan over there passed away, and we just want to give all of our thoughts and prayers to him and his family. And if you guys go over to Enchanted Tiki Talk or to Alan, over to his Twitter account, you can find a GoFundMe for his daughter. If you guys can go over there, if you can help out, it would really mean a lot to them. And we are so sorry for your loss, guys.
Yeah, that was horrible to read that. I actually saw it on the Podbean feed that we share a hosting site with those guys and other podcasters as well. And I almost couldn't believe what I was reading when I saw it. So it's horrible. And our condolences do go out to his family and friends. And, you know, we've crossed paths over the years with them guys. And I was on their show once a couple years ago. And they've always been great to us and, you know, great friends in the Disney community. So it was real troubling to hear that earlier in the week.
No, it really it set me back. I mean, I got online just to look to see what was going on. I seen that. I felt so horrible because, you know, he has a young, young children and a young child, and it really made me feel horrible.
Yeah, you know, you're helpless. There's nothing you can do, and you know it is what it is. But it just goes to show you, you know, you don't know how much time you have left, and you know, use your time wisely, as they say, because you just never know. And it is sad that this has happened, but you know, what can you do?
Yeah, they in lieu of donations or whatever, they have a fund set up for his daughter Grace. So if you guys can, every little bit will help them. And again, we are so sorry for your loss, guys.
Yes.
So, John, you good?
Yeah. Heartfelt condolences. You see stuff like that, and when you see a sudden heart attack or something, you're usually expecting somebody in their 60s, 70s, and I guess this guy was in his mid 30s, and it's just so surprising to see a sudden something sudden like that happen. So, yeah, heartfelt condolences to his family.
So we we hate to go on from there, but we, you know, we're going to do our regular show. We're going to do the year-end, you know, our Disney year-end review, and then John's going to give us a review from the Boathouse. We wanted to get that in there for you guys. Again, we are so, so sorry. And we are also so sorry to hear about John's meal at the Boathouse.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
You know, it wasn't too good, was it, John?
There were aspects of it that were really, really good. Certain things that I thought were stellar, but then there was two big factors that just left it kind of a bad taste, literally a bad taste in my mouth. So, I don't
set
know.
Set the stage, yeah. I'm sorry, John. Set the stage. So when did you go? What meal did you have? Dinner or lunch? And what time of day? And all that good stuff. And then that might make some sense to what happened here.
All right. We had reservations at 3:30 because basically that I'd made them earlier in the week on Christmas Eve, and that was about the only time I could really get in. I wanted more of a lunchtime, you know, around noon or 1, or a dinner time around 6:30 or 7, but 3:30 is what's available, so that's what we took. So we got there about 10 after 3, something like that, and got seated right away, and we had our the hostess – you know, asked if we wanted to sit outside or sit inside. And so I'm going to set this up as part of this, I guess, is my fault. I made the reservations at 3:30. I know that's a slack time in the restaurants. And so maybe they're not as attentive, or maybe they're not as hustling as they are at dinner time or at lunchtime. So, and then in addition to that, I went ahead and requested we sat outside. And they sat us right in the blazing sun. It was shining right in my eyes the entire meal. So a cloud finally came by about the time I got to the second half of my entree. Thank goodness I couldn't even see. So, So I guess I'll take blame for those two.
Right. Well, no, just real quick before you start. I mean, yes, I always have Doug teases me about this. I call it the shoulder times, but you're right. That, you know, that time between lunch and dinner is time when they're kind of switching staff. A lot of time you'll have people that work the morning prep and maybe the lunch, or, you know, getting off work, and those working the, you know, early dinner, and then the dinner service through the night are coming on. So you're right. You know, I'm not making excuses, but I'm just saying, and you did recognize it, that there's time at that time people are given breaks sometimes, and, you know, it may be, they may not be running on all cylinders, like you said. So I would agree with that thought process as well.
Yeah, exactly. I delivered to restaurants for, you know, I've been doing it for 25 years now, so I should know. But regardless, that's what time was available, so that's when we got in there. So
I agree with you, but that restaurant, at the caliber of that restaurant, there shouldn't be really a law in there. It'd be like Tom Brady throwing 4 interceptions in the second quarter, right before the half or something. I mean, yeah, it's a bad – you can excuse
shouldn't
it, but it's not
excuse,
right. No,
it
shouldn't
be an excuse is what you're saying. And I agree, Doug. I mean, you're right. We're just trying to come up with reasons why it happened, but that doesn't make it right is what you're saying. And
exactly. And this is a restaurant that it isn't – and I'm not trying to disparage like your local chains or something like that. But if you're going to one of your – I don't want to name names or whatever. But if you're going out to, you know, just the chain, you're going to go in, you're just stopping in, and the whole nine yards, things are bad. You kind of get it. There's certain seafood places I go to. I know it's a 50-50 shot. Everything's coming out cold.
You're right.
you know what I'm getting at. When you go there for what John is going to end up spending and the beauty of the place and all the luster and all – you don't expect it to be bad, just like you don't expect Tom Brady in the Super Bowl to throw 4 interceptions. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no argument here. I agree. So, continue, sir.
I just got to be me.
So we got seated. The first thing, and I get this probably is, like we said, the shoulder time. We're going to blame it on that. It took probably – I'd say the server showed up within – 2 to 3 minutes, and then took our drink orders, but I didn't get, well, go figure, I got a beer, but I didn't get my beer until probably 12 to 15 minutes later with, you know, half of the tables filled, and so, I don't know, it and Lisa didn't get her soda, it took that long to get drinks, and then when he finally did come back, I just wanted to try a couple of, okay, here's my first mistake. What did everybody tell me to get? The firecracker shrimp. What did I not get? I did not get the firecracker shrimp.
Well, I'm just going to kill you.
Yes, yeah. So I didn't get that, but I'm a big raw oyster fan. So this is the first place I've ever been where they actually have almost like a beer menu or a wine menu. They have an oyster menu of different oysters from different locales. So there was ones from, you know, up near you, Dennis. There was oysters from, I guess, Chesapeake Bay. There was oysters from the Gulf of Mexico. So it was an interesting thing to really pick from. And unlike most places,
So let's hear. You didn't pick the oysters from, Idaho, did you?
No, you know what? I did not pick one from there or from Nevada. No,
I'm just making sure. Being you didn't get the shrimp, I'm thinking maybe you got some Michigan or some Idaho or maybe
landlocked oysters.
Yeah.
I got oysters. Generally, I can pick up around here for about between 50 and 75 cents a piece. So I thought I was kind of splurging here. I got a $3.50 oyster and a $5 oyster. So the $5 one I think was from the one from New England.
It had to be. You know how they are up there.
Yeah, a little snobby. But I made the order and the server took the order. He came back in about a couple of minutes and told me the raw bar was backed up. It'd be a couple more minutes to get him back out. That's fine, no problem. So he then finally, about 10 minutes later, the presentation came out with the oysters and they were presented beautifully. They're in a bed of ice, you know, with the lemon wedge and the whole setup and the two shells. But I had no way of knowing which one is the $3.50 oyster, which one is the $5 oyster.
And they didn't
And the person who brought it out was not our server. It was somebody completely different who basically dumped the plate and left. And so I'm like clueless as to which one. So I just went ahead and ate both of them because as soon as I'm eating the two, or I started eating the one oyster, our entrees show up. So I really didn't have time to sit and try to get a grasp on which ones I'm eating here. And then as I'm finishing the second oyster, our original server shows back up and asks how I liked them. And I said they were fantastic, but I had no idea which one was which one. He said, well, if you would have given me a chance to get back over here, I would have told you. Well,
wow.
Hey,
gave you some attitude.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to get the space cleared because you got my entree hitting at the same time here. So,
wow.
I didn't need that. So, but regardless, they were absolutely delicious. I just wish I would have known which one was the $3.50 one because I'd just get that from now on. Because they were both delicious.
See, what I would have said is, so do I give the tip to the person who brought it out to me, or do I give it to you then? Because the person who brought it out to me is different than you. Maybe if you'd have brought it out to me, you'd have been able to explain to me, and we wouldn't have a problem here. Do we have a problem here, or are we good?
That's too bad, though, because as we all know, attitude can make or break a dinner, regardless of what you're paying. I don't care if you're paying, you know, $12 at one of the other restaurants there. Nobody should have to put up with that. And John, I've known you long enough now. I know you're not embellishing, and if that's what he said to you, that's unacceptable in my view.
Yeah, I mean, the only one he really picks on is me, Dan. So, I mean, he's nice to everybody else. I'm the only one he ever gives horse pocky to, so. Yeah.
No. By this time it goes on, I'm I have beer or two. I'm totally laid back. I'm in my favorite place in the entire world, so I'm not going to throw in an attitude to anybody. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hey, whatever. So, anyway, the oysters were delicious. There's no doubt. They were absolutely the best tasting oysters I've ever eaten in my entire life. So,
but you would have liked to have known so you could have gone back and know which one you want to order again. Maybe you ordered
exactly.
two. Like, were they equally as good to you?
Yeah. I couldn't tell the difference, to tell you the truth. I would have liked to have known, you know, if he would have been able to have been there and told me, okay, this one's going to have, you know, a little more of a briny texture and maybe a little, you know, and explained it a little more, maybe I would have got a better grasp on it. So,
but if you'd have known this way, you know, next time, if the $3 one you like better, you just order two of them.
Yeah.
Maybe you get three for the price of two.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, when you go to a restaurant, the caliber of the Boathouse or California Grill or Gico or, you know, pick your high-end restaurant at Disney, yeah, you're going for the food, but you're also going for the experience and the presentation. And part of it, I always find, it's fun learning things. And it sounds mm-hmm. like there was a missed opportunity there with John, you know, obviously interested in oysters, and he could have had a real – it could have went a totally different direction, and he would have been raving about the oyster bar, and you got to get over there, and, you know, they tell you all about them, like he said, the textures are different, or mm-hmm. or whatever, or dip it in this sauce, or don't, or eat it raw, or, you know, well, yeah. It's raw anyways, but you know what I mean. It was an opportunity missed, and regardless of the reason why, you know, we probably will never know, but, you know, that's just, that's too bad. I mean, I'm sorry to hear that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, because that's half the fun. He could have been yeah. like, the oyster from Ohio was so much better than one from Wisconsin.
Yeah, but, right.
But no, all kidding aside, he could have said, well, the New England oyster was so-and-so, and it was awesome, and what I liked about that, and then he could have told us what, this way, he don't know, the fun of it, like you said, is being able to tell us knuckleheads on this show yeah. about his meal in depth, and that's what we all look forward to doing. That's why we look forward to eating at all these restaurants. So it kind of took a little of fun away from him.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of strange because I have, you know, obviously every restaurant I go to that has beer flights, I get a beer flight, and I mean the servers always make a big deal out of bringing the flight out to you, pointing the beer out, explaining what brewery it comes from, you know, how it's brewed differently from these other brews and stuff like that. And there was nothing like that. I was basically, here's a platter with two oysters on it. Enjoy.
Right. I mean, that's the fun of it, John. You'd order two beers if you just wanted to slug down a couple of beers. I mean, you get the flight, so maybe you're trying something you've never had or, you know, whatever the reason. I mean, part of it is a learning experience, like I said, for any of those things. And again, it was definitely a missed opportunity, I think, on the Boathouse's part for this particular dinner you had.
Absolutely. I think you got a little oystered on it. You know what I'm saying?
So, John, I'm sure you're going to go into it, but so did they ever ask you at any time, like, you want me to hold the apps and, you know, hold the entrees until you have your apps, or that never even came up?
No, that wasn't even a question. The oysters were put in front of me. I looked at them and got a fork out to get them out, and they were trying to move my plate over to put the lobster down that I had ordered. So, yeah, it wasn't even a question of hold on a second or can you want me to bring this back? Or no, it was right after the oysters came out.
Well, so, you're a more subtle guy than maybe some that I know, because I've seen people send them back and say, look, I'll let you know when I'm ready for my entree, and they wouldn't accept it. I mean, you know, but I mean, that's a, you know, everyone doesn't have the, you know what's to do that, but I have seen people do that. Have you?
Yeah, I'm generally afraid. I know a lot of servers. I know a lot of chefs, and I really don't want my food to go back in the kitchen after it's been out to my dinner table. So.
That's the risk you run. You're right. You don't know who you're going to insult, and then we all hear the stories from there, right?
No, absolutely.
Exactly.
I'm more patient with my wife, but I've a couple times stopped a meal at the appetizers before. Said, no, this ain't working out, and you're just going to give me the bill now, and I'm going to leave. Because I ain't even – you can't do this right. I'm not even going to stay for the rest of it. So
you saw the writing on the wall, is
exactly,
what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I seen the ship going down, and I grabbed a lifeboat and left. I have done that before.
You cut your losses.
Exactly. You know, I mean, when the appetizers don't come out right, your drinks are wrong, and things are – nah, I'm not going to sit here and just keep going down with you. You're just going to get me more aggravated. I'm just going to roll and find the Wendy's on the way home, and I'll be okay with it. Because I know what I expect there.
Yep.
So what'd you do next, John? What was next on your nice little meal here?
All right. Well, I choked the oysters down, and we didn't get real appetizers. Basically, I just got the two oysters, but I really wanted to take some time and enjoy them and see. Actually, what I wanted to do, what I had the idea was to try them, and then if I liked, you know, one of the two of them, I was going to get one or two more of them. But that never was an option, so you know what I mean. So, but
They lost money too on the deal. You would have ordered a second, a second serving, if you will. So there.
Yeah, because the entrees were already there. How are you going to ask for more? Yeah. I mean, it just, let me settle into this. This is supposed to be an experience, not again, like I just brought up Wendy's, but it isn't supposed to be fast food out the door. It's supposed to be a whole dining experience. Yeah,
it's fine dining.
So, Lisa got the tenderloin filet, and it came with some roasted, I think they were roasted baby red potatoes. And she likes her steak medium. It came out perfectly cooked. She said the potatoes were fantastic. I tasted a bit of her steak. It was really good. She probably said it was, either the second or the third best steak she had on property. So behind Le Cellier and stuff. So she liked the steak a lot. And given the choice, she said she would take Le Cellier, but it was probably the second best one. And she did say that she could even tell that she thought that was actually probably a prime cut, where she thought maybe Le Cellier was a choice cut. There was a lot of marbling in the meat, so it was a really fantastic cut of meat. So.
No, I'm glad she at least enjoyed that.
She loved her entree. She thought it was really good. And I got the crab stuffed lobster. It came out. It looked beautiful. It was quite a presentation. But I'm not going to say that it was inedible or anything of that sort. I did eat it, so therefore, I paid for it, obviously. So it wasn't horrendous by any means. It just wasn't what I was looking for the price that I ended up paying.
Yeah, it's like almost $50, right, John?
$48, yeah.
Almost $50, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
See, Dennis could be a wise butt too.
Yeah. But first of all, I got the impression that this had been prepped for lunch, and then probably partially cooked at lunch, and then just to be intended to finish up right when somebody ordered it. It felt like it had been sitting for several hours. It was kind of, I wouldn't say congealed, but it was definitely the crab had molded itself into the lobster. So in other words, I couldn't tell where the crab stopped and the lobster began.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an odd mix, and frankly, there just wasn't much taste to it. It was dry and overcooked. You know how when you overcook a lobster tail, you have a hard time getting the shell, it out of the shell.
Yep.
Yeah,
that was it. It was difficult to remove it all from the shell, and then when I did get it out, it was just kind of bland, totally unseasoned. So like I said, it wasn't inedible by any means. It wasn't my almost $50 worth of entree. So
not John. I mean, all I can say, and I was talking to Doug a little bit earlier tonight, and he told me not all about your experience, but he told me that it didn't go well. So, and I thought I knew what you were getting for an entree. I mean, what you described is like 180 out from what we had when we went there. Now, what I would say is, I can't remember exactly what time, but I know we were in there right around 6 p.m. whatever night we went. I think it was a Saturday night, if I recall. Prime dinner time. Everything was cranking, and it was hot. It was, it was everything. Different.
It was
than what
hot
you
off
described.
The presses with you.
Yeah, had. Yeah. So I mean, I'm very disappointed in the boathouse and that you had that experience. But again, you wouldn't just say it if it wasn't true. So for whatever reason, boy, that's disappointing. I take it you didn't, make any waves or bring the waiter over or say anything of the sort to the folks there when you had your dinner.
No, and to tell you the truth, I don't think he ever really seemed all that interested in how it went or anything. Yeah. And like I said, once again, I want to say that it's not that it was terrible. It just didn't meet up to what, and maybe part of it was my expectations were very high. I really, really was anticipating eating here. I had high hopes for it, and it didn't quite live up to my, if I had maybe read some more reviews and some of them weren't so good and stuff, and maybe my expectations wouldn't have been so high, but it seems like everybody had a great meal here. So yeah. Now I kind of feel like I got the short end of the stick. So
John, I would say that, you know, I had heard some things that, you know, people going back a second time to the Boathouse said that it maybe wasn't as good as it was the first time. I mean, I only went once, and, you know, you can't really come to an opinion on anything you do in life once. So, you know, maybe they were on their best behavior. You know, they were just newly opened, and, you know, things might have been different. Maybe once they, you know, they were open a while, they backed off on the standards. Who knows? But, you know, hey, things change. And, you know, just because you had something great, you know, 6 months ago doesn't mean it's going to be great 6 months from now. So, you know, again, but I think it's safe to say it's going to be tough to get you to go back there again, right?
Yeah. With after our discount, we got I can't remember if it was 10 or 20% discount with the annual pass holder. With tip, it was still $132. And that's an expensive meal for me and my wife. I mean, right. Usually we're the Outback kids, you know, you know, a Outback special and a Bloomin' Onion and a couple of Fosters. That's a good night for us. So,
yep.
I can do that for about $65. So.
I was going to ask you not to, I mean, it involves the your dinner. Did they have any unique beers or any beers that you liked while you were there? Or did you just have some standard stuff?
No, they had. I tried a couple of IPAs from Big Storm Brewing, which is a local brewing in Tampa. They're called. Yeah, it's Big Storm, and it was an Arcus IPA, and they were good. I got a picture of those. Should I send all these pictures to Bob, or what do you think?
Yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah, he's the webmaster. You can send them to me, and y'all going to do nothing with them.
Okay.
He's gonna send them to Bob.
Well, actually, I'll talk to Bob sometime and see if he just wants me. I don't know. He might get mad at me if I wrote up a review on it. So.
No, he won't get mad at you.
But regardless, yeah, I've got plenty of pictures of the items and where we sat and the beer and the lobster and the steak and everything. So, yeah, it's kind of surprising, actually, if you think about it. You know, the old adage, don't go to a seafood house and order the steak, and actually that was the better entree. So.
Right.
Yeah, get the Boathouse, I mean, the thing is with the Boathouse, though, it's kind of a hybrid steakhouse. It is. I've heard as many good things about the steak there as I have the seafood. So the bottom line is the top of the tier. It's supposed to be the top 10% of the echelon of all the restaurants in the parks. You expect it deserves to have high standards because that's what it brags. That's what it rates itself to be. That's what it prides itself to be. I mean, for the last year, all I've heard about is how great the Boathouse is. So, and when it's bad, you got to say it's bad. I think maybe the Boathouse might be getting a little bit of the Le Cellier of the Disney Springs, getting a little full of themselves. Yeah. They might be overbooking.
I was actually going to say, I think for the price, we have never been to the California Grill. Pretty much came close to eating dinner at the California Grill for the price that I paid, and I have a feeling that would have been more of an experience. So, not to mention that, you know, when our passes are good, I could have went back to Le Cellier and both got great steaks. So, or even over to came close to even eating at Yachtsman or something. So,
yeah, you're right in that. You're in that, like Doug said, you're in the top 10%. And to me, regardless of which restaurant it is, they all, you know, they obviously have their own, you know, specialties or what have you. But they're, you know, they're all of that ilk or that caliber, and you should expect nothing but the best because you're paying top dollar. You know, you're even paying, you know, how many times have we discussed food prices, Doug?
Oh.
You're paying over what it should cost. You know, it's
yeah.
Doug's old story about he can buy a pound of shrimp back at his fishmonger for, you know, X, and he's paying Y at the Boathouse or wherever. You know,
yeah.
You're paying premium prices. You should get premium service and premium food. That's how I look at it.
Oh, and I've told you this. I've said it a million times. I'm not – Dan, you were with me down there. You guys know me. You guys know where I eat, the Brown Derby here or there. I'm not cheap. And I understand that they're running a business, and because I ran one. There is overhead. There is things. I don't mind – when you go to somewhere like that, you don't mind paying it because you expect it, like John said. But you want to be a total experience that you never forget. And right. when little things go wrong like that at a place like that, they get magnified. If it goes wrong, like John said, at Outback, they bring on the wrong steak or something goes wrong, you laugh about it. It's not because right. you expect that there, but you don't. They get the, they're supposed to have the best waiters, best waitresses, the best chefs. Everything is supposed to be the top of the line there. So when you don't get that, you're disappointed. And you guys know I've eaten. Listen to my English. I've eaten at Le Cellier. I don't know, Dan. And you're the same way. I've probably eaten there 15, 20 times. I don't know how many times. Right. But the last time I ate there, all those other times were great. But because the standards are so high, the last time I ate there, I had a bad experience. So I haven't been there since. It don't take much when you're right. when that happens for you to. It's kind of like. You know, if your best friend lies to you, an idiot at work lies to you, you expect it out of him. But right. when your best friend lies to you, it hurts you even more. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. You're right. And I was just thinking about it. What do they call those restaurants that you mentioned? They're called signature dining. I mean,
exactly.
It's right in the description in the book. And, you know, from what you described, John, you didn't get anything near close to signature dining.
No, not at all. I mean, we're looking at our reservations for our vacation, and I have Boathouse on there because we were going to go there then. And I think if it comes down, you know, if I want to eat at Disney Springs, we're definitely going to hit Morimoto's or SDK instead. I'm not at least not for that type of an experience again. I would go back because of because of Bob and these dang friggin' firecracker shrimp. So I want to try those. So and I would go. I mean, if I had an option to go sit at the Raw Bar and I could actually know what oysters I was trying, I wouldn't mind trying five or six different oysters just sitting there, you know, because like I said, those were fantastic. But I'm not spending that type of money on an entree again, that's for sure. So.
And there are so many choices now, more so than ever before. There's no need for you to do that. There's so many other places you can go that have advertised food as good or better than the Boathouse. So I don't blame you. But I like the fact that you're keeping your mind open to, you know, if we were to get together next year and we went in and ordered, you know, a drink or two with some shrimp or some, you know, like you said, from the Raw Bar, you know, you'd keep open to doing that because, you know, that might be the best stuff you ever had. So, but no, I don't disagree with what you said. If I had that experience you just explained, I would be doing the same thing. I think I would have said something, though, or at least I would write a letter or an email or something to the, you know, whoever, you know, you would write that to at the Landry's group or whatever it is. I'd let them know about your experience. And I know you're not looking to get something or, you know, but if it was really that bad, which, as I said, if you're saying it so, I believe you, I'd let them know about it because I don't want them passing on any of the food like that to, you know, anyone I know or me in particular. So I'd let them know.
As good as you had that entree last time. I mean, I'm pretty sure you were looking forward to going back and getting that. So you don't want the one that
right.
I got. You want to make sure you got the one that you had. So.
Right. And John, on what I had last time, and my son-in-law had the same meal, so it wasn't just me, you know, overrating the meal. I mean, he also raved about it. You know, I would order it tomorrow based on my experience. But
right. I know that, and I mean, I know you're a seafood snob, you know, you know, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, I'm used to good seafood down here, but not lobster. I mean, our lobster tails are cute little guys compared to your thing.
Little soft shell lobsters you got down there.
Yeah. So.
No,
go ahead, Doug.
No, I'm sorry, Dan. I was just going to say, for the reason that happened to you is the reason why I got mad over at Le Cellier's because I felt rushed. Remember I told you, Dan?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
before I'm finished my – I'm just finishing up my entree, and he's trying to push dessert on me. Like, he's grabbing my plates before I'm even done.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was just – the whole meal felt like I was being rushed out the door.
Right.
Like, okay, you already got me in here. You want me gone. And that ain't what a signature dining is supposed to be about. A signature dining is supposed to be about you take my entree, you ask me if I want another drink, you know. There's a whole there. You want to feel special for an hour or so, don't you?
Right.
Or two.
And not, Right, and not that you would sit there and sip three cups of coffee and, you know, linger for 45 minutes. That would be being a jerk the other way. But if you wanted a cup of coffee with your dessert, you should be feel that you can do that without feeling, you know, the eyes are upon you or whatever. That's part of the whole dinner.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole problem. It's like, you know, I didn't want to feel like – I mean, I felt like I was being pushed out the door.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that – I mean, again, I'm not blaming the waiter or waitresses. I'm sure they have supervisors that are, like you said, they're trying to turn these tables and maximize the number of, you know, groups they can get through there in a night to maximize their dollar. And that's all well and good, but you have to do that, I think, in a balance with not making your guests feel rushed, because you were probably thinking about that dinner for 6 or 8 months before you went there, you know, all summer long or whatever you were waiting all the way up until that day that it came, and you were, you know, thinking about the great dinner you're going to have that night. And then for that to happen, like you said, it was, you know, that really ruined it for you. And I can see why, because, you know, it's a very special place and you've eaten there all those times and you talk it up to everyone you know and on the show here. So, you know, you kind of take it a little personally. And I understand that.
It totally bummed me out.
Yep.
So, John, needless to say, for you to go back to the boathouse, me and Dennis have to buy. Is that what you're telling us?
Something like that. Like I said, maybe I'll hit the oyster bar, and maybe I still want to try those firecracker shrimp. So, because what I want to do is try them and then compare them to the spicy garlic ones at Spice Road Table. So, you know, I want to be able to do that comparison. So, but well, that would be it. I'm definitely not getting my that entree again. So
yeah, well, I felt bad because at the time John's texted me to tell me how bad his meal was.
Yeah,
I was having one of the best meals we ever had. I mean, and that was at we ate at the Bonefish for Christmas Eve, the whole family. Uh-huh. And I was telling John, I said, we had the bang bang shrimp there. Or and have you ever eaten at a Bonefish, Dan?
I have not.
They're really good. John even likes his down there. They're really good. They're kind of like a step above your other chain restaurants, if you follow
okay.
me. They're elegant in there. It's nice in there.
Okay.
And we had seven of us. I had two orders of the Bang Bang Shrimp. I had we all had an entree. I had a crab stuff, a crab topped mahi mahi that was out of this world. With garlic mashed potatoes, which you give me garlic mash, I'm a happy man. But I had the mahi mahi. My wife had shrimp and scallops. My brother-in-law had a stuffed tilapia. My sister-in-law had a stuffed tilapia. My other sister had the two crab cakes. My mother-in-law had this twice stuffed pork chop. And my godson Jimmy had the steak and a crab cake. With the appetizers, I had a couple beers. My brother-in-law had a drink. My wife had two wines. My two sister-in-law had these two winter cosmopolitans, are called. And our whole meal came to $216.
Wow.
And poor John spent $1.38 on two of them.
And he hated it.
Yeah, I feel like I got robbed there.
No, I mean, that was without tip. I mean, my brother-in-law right. dropped the tip, if you follow me. But it was like we gave a $50 tip. But the point was, and it was phenomenal. And the waitress was incredible. Like, she gave us our drinks with the bread and all. And the bread has the dipping, you know, the oils, the different dipping oils. And it was toasty hot, just right out of the oven. And so we got to enjoy the bread with our first thing of drinks. And then all of a sudden the appetizers came out. We all couldn't believe, like, dude, I even ate all the lettuce that was in there with it, because it comes – the dressing with the bang bang, the shrimp are on top of a bed of lettuce and different greens. So after the shrimp was gone, I was digging into the greens because the dressing was so darn good.
Only way to get you to eat your lettuce is to put that stuff on it, right?
Exactly. So it was really good. You know, my wife makes me eat it, so I have no choice. But the point of it is we couldn't get enough of that. And then we got another drink, and then another 15, 20 minutes goes by, and then we get our entrees. Because like John was saying, after you eat those appetizers and the bread and stuff like that, don't you want to just have your drink and wait 15, 20 minutes and reestablish, like, figure out where the entree is going to fit in your stomach?
Yeah. And sometimes 5 or 10 minutes is enough to, you know, get a little digesting going and get ready for the big entree. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we're all conversating, having a good time. That was the whole point of the deal. You just don't want to be kicked out the door for anything. And that's what you probably felt like, John, right? You were being expedited.
Yes, that's what I totally felt like when my oysters and my entree showed up at the same time. So it was like I had to move the plate to make, you know, get this plate out of the way so I have room for the entree plate. So.
But on a positive thing, I don't know if you guys read, to go into the year in review and everything we're going to talk about real quick, because it's not going to be a long one. Like, remember Ricky Bergani? Him and the guy from Window to the Magic, Paul Barry. They used to do one that was like 18 hours long.
Yeah.
You have to listen to those in segments. Yes.
Oh, like a week. Like this is going to be a little bit of Cliff Notes. We're just going to have a little fun for a Tuesday show, a shorter show. But did you hear Disney made $7 billion this year at the box office worldwide?
Wow. Just for movies.
Yes.
You know what, Doug, when we were at Star Wars a couple of weeks ago, there was four mega hit movies playing at the time, right? Mm-hmm. In the theaters. There was Star Wars Rogue One, there was Moana, there was Doctor Strange, and there was the new Harry Potter, not Harry Potter, but the Stranger Things, the Mysterious Beast one anyway.
Yeah.
But out of those four, three of them are freaking Disney.
It's crazy. They made $7 billion worldwide this year. They broke a record. And then to end the year, did you see that me and John talked about this? This is all talking year in review. This is the first Christmas they can't remember when, that I guess probably in a long time, that the parks didn't go to capacity for Christmas Day. None of the parks had to be shut down for capacity.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Usually that's just you just assume that's going to happen. Yep. And the fact that it didn't, I don't know what to think of that, whether people are doing other things or maybe the price point is starting to make its way to it's not as affordable. I don't know.
Well, Dennis, you want to hear my theory?
It's a little bit of everything, I think.
Well,
even with your theory that's wrong, we're going to take it. No, I'm kidding.
But the passes that me and the wife have before were – the regular annual passes, and they were good 365 days out of the year. Well, this past year they changed them to, we have the gold passes now. My son has the silver. That's the old seasonal pass.
Right.
We have the gold, but even with the gold passes, we have 2 weeks blacked out at Christmas and New Year's, and we have a week blacked out during spring break, Easter holidays. We never had blackout dates on these passes before. To make up for that, I suppose they gave us the photo pass, which actually me and the wife use the heck out of. We really take advantage of that. So I don't mind. It's not that big of a deal because I don't want to really necessarily go out there on the busiest days of the year anyway. But yeah, before, like on Saturday last year, Christmas Eve, we would have had the option to go to the parks, and we didn't have that option this year.
So do you think there's thousands of locals that have that silver pass that didn't go to the parks this year?
There might be enough. I know there's a large contingent, especially down in Kissimmee, South Orlando, that there's actually a tradition that's building where they get up early, make a breakfast, open their presents, and then head out to the parks about 9 or 10 o'clock. So they weren't able to do that this year. So there might just be enough where, you know, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 where it just didn't reach that capacity. And I wouldn't doubt that's why Disney did that, because maybe they don't want to reach that capacity. If they do, they want it to be from day guests or, you know, somebody that's buying the tickets. So.
Well, you know, you got to look at it too, that, you know, it reaches capacity or whatever. That means you got to bring people in on overtime and cover shifts, because the more people that are there, you need more people to do everything to keep the parks going, right?
Yeah, and then me, on the other hand, I'm thinking it's just them making everybody go buy the platinum package now. If you want to be there on Christmas, it's just a way to get more money. And I think they thought more people would upgrade, and they didn't. And I'm hoping that it's going to bite them in the bottom dollar a little bit, to maybe they get off their high horse a little bit. Because I think they thought people like John would upgrade to the next tier of packages. And John didn't. John didn't. And more people, no matter what, there was always a grade. And I think in one way, shape, or form, it shows that the prices, again, are getting a little too much, because it isn't worth it to you, John, to go up to that next price point to be there for Christmas.
No, just for Christmas and New Year's and Easter. I mean, those are traditionally the days that we probably do our best to stay away anyway. So, yeah, no, there's no way.
And I'm glad it kind of happened, though. You know, and again, everybody knows I love Disney, and I just say this because I do. And I have different ways of going than most of you do because of me being a TA. So all this stuff that I piss, moan, complain, and cry about don't even affect me. But right. it just bothers me that they gouge you. So what's going to stop them next year, John, from taking 3 or 4 more weeks if things like this don't happen? So maybe this is kind of a good thing that you don't lose 2 more weeks next year, John, when your pass is up.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if this year all of a sudden we can't go on the 4th of July and maybe on not on Labor Day. That's maybe Memorial
but
Day.
Being the parks weren't to capacity, they might think twice about taking more days from me, is my point. Does that make sense to you then?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, obviously every person that goes through that turnstile has a potential to spend money. And if they're not there and they're not spending money, in theory, Disney's losing money. So it's a real dollars and cents proposition. Absolutely.
Yeah, fellas, that's how bad Disney's got me and my wife. We couldn't get into the park. So what do? Oh, we go spend money at Disney Springs instead.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're suckers is what we are.
But at least it went to Landry's. You didn't actually spend it at a Disney restaurant, so it hurt them a little bit. But,
right.
Yeah, because Disney was – it didn't matter to Disney or not if you ate at that restaurant because they already get their rent from them, so they aren't getting any more from your entree.
Well, that's probably what happened, Doug. They probably knew that he didn't upgrade his pass, so they said, let's stick it to him on the dinner. Let's give him an old crusty lobster we have out back.
Yeah, take that one from the back of the refrigerator. Yeah.
But don't think it don't bring attention to them that they didn't go to capacity this year. So it might make them change a little of their philosophy. Like I said, it might even be a day or two, John, that you might have lost if this would have been the capacity that you might not this year. So it might be a good thing at the end.
Yep.
Just stay off the buses, guys. Those extravagant buses. Our friends are down there right now on the buses, did you see Carmen wrote me, Doug, you were upset that we're using the buses. I'm not upset.
I thought they were empty.
No, I'm not upset at all. It isn't about that. I just get upset because for them to do those buses, and this is one of the urine reviews of things that we can talk about that bothered me, that Disney knows there's a problem. That's why they created this. So instead of them paying for the problem, they're making you pay for it. And that's the reason why I get so angry about all this stuff. John or Dan, why would they decide to do this if they didn't realize there was a problem with transportation?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, we covered this upside down and sideways. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe just another way to bring revenue in. I don't know.
It's sad. But anyway, give us another story, Dan, some of the big things that happened this year that you find very intriguing that we couldn't figure out ourselves. So tell me, man.
Well, I don't know that they're intriguing, but what I'll do is I'll read some out, and if I hit on one that you guys want to say a few words about, you can. How's that sound? Because some of them are very minor, but they're ones that I forgot all about. And I guess I'd start off by saying it's amazing how much stuff happens in 12 months that you just – you know, you might think, oh, 4 or 5 things happened at Disney over the last 12 months. But when you look at a list or go back and read some old, blogs and stuff like that, it's pretty amazing how much stuff happens in a calendar year. Well, but anyways.
Well, not to cut you off, but just say real quick. But look at us when we started doing the news every week. The reason we decided to do the news is because it's the only way you keep up. I like doing it because – I've always said this, and my mom told me this years ago. Have you ever noticed you remember it more if you write it down or you actually read it? And that's the reason why I like us to do the news, because if it wasn't for us reading it every week, I wouldn't remember half the stuff that goes on down there.
Right.
And every week when we started doing the news, we were like, are we going to be able to do a whole show on the news? And every single week when we think there's nothing there, there's 4 or 5 stories of stuff going on every week of the year. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let's see here. Starting off, you know, I don't have all these dates, so if I get a date wrong or a month wrong when something happened, don't email me. Email Bob Sycon, the webmaster. Complain to him. But anyway, but these things certainly happened in the last calendar year at Disney. So
they expect us to have them all screwed up, so don't even worry about it. There's no pressure here.
Yeah, so, yeah, last January 7th, which is, what, a week away now, or just about, we had our last showing of the Osborne Festival of Family Lights, or whatever it was called, and that was sad for a lot of people that made that an annual event for them and their family.
No, I was sad to see it go. My buddy John, who I work with, he said he's not going back for the holidays until that comes back, right? So he's been not down there because they used to go a lot during the holidays. All of a sudden, I just booked his trip. I just helped him, talked to him about booking his trip for next year. He's going regardless because the wife put her foot down. But but a lot of us miss it. I'm upset because I know how much it meant to a lot of people. But to me, it was good, but I'm happier that they're redoing the studios than I am about the that I'm sad that the lights are gone, if that makes sense.
Seasonal light show, yeah.
Yeah.
No, makes sense. John, did you enjoy that show? Or?
Yeah, that was always something we always looked forward to walking to every year. So, and we saw the replacement show, or the temporary replacement show for it this year, and it was pretty sad. So, yeah, I definitely missed them. I had to grab some of Lisa's video and pictures from last year and look through them and remember. But I still miss the holiday lights at Epcot. You know, they used to do the ones over the walkway to the World Showcase at night, and I still miss that. So
I used to love that. That was awesome.
Yeah, they were really pretty, weren't they? So
yeah. So go ahead, Dan.
Yeah,
we're sad about Osborne, and you never got to see it. And
nope,
you like food and wine better than Christmas, and you've never been there. Okay, go ahead.
We had the announcement of the expansion of the ESPN Wide World of Sports. They got an 8,000 seat venue that's going to host all of the cheerleading and Pop Warner and all the events that they currently hold over at Indiana Jones. So that's going to be exciting to, you know, maybe not visit that facility, but see how it relates to Indiana Jones staying or going, or what ultimately happens over there at the studios.
Yeah, I hope it makes don't tell anybody, but I hope Indiana Jones goes. I
don't think does the vault get him in the end, Doug?
I don't know. I'm still not sure if it happens or not.
You might have to see that one more time.
Exactly. But like you said, Dan, there's millions of people a year to go there that haven't seen it yet. But I'll be glad to see it go for my own little from my own little greed of wanting a new ride. So I'll let it go. I'll be happy to see it go. And again, you brought up the Wide World of Sports. I hate that I forget that's even there. Again, as being a resident, that would be so awesome to go to. Like, if me and you won't be like John, then I'm sure we'll be going to all the parks when we live there, unlike just going to Epcot every single week, you know.
Hey, what's wrong with Epcot? Ain't nothing wrong with Epcot.
Wrong with Epcot, but enjoy some of the other stuff, too. You make me mad that you don't go to the other stuff that I want you to go to.
Yeah, well.
Let's see.
Nobody else has got Le Fin du Monde, so, you know.
Yeah.
You see our buddy Brian I mean, you were so mean to me saying I don't have a good taste of beer. That's just rotten by you.
Let's see. Here. Go ahead, John.
No, broke my stones. Go ahead.
No big deal.
And John mentioned earlier, we did have the rollout of the new tiered ticketing options that John just alluded to, the silver and gold and different things. So that was a change that they announced and enacted in this past calendar year. I usually get an annual pass, just a regular pass, so it doesn't bother me, or it doesn't pertain to me, but I know a lot of listeners out there get the different packages, and they may be locals like John, and it's very important to them. So, it always seems that they're tinkering with their ticketing systems or ticket options down there. Hard to keep track of it.
Hopefully it's more important to me and you sooner than later, Dan.
Yes, yes. Then we had our infamous, I guess we'll call it now, what happened April 22nd, 2016? Or what was supposed to happen April 22nd, 2016?
River of Lights was over.
Hey, yeah. There you go. And here we are, December whatever, and it's still, I guess it's imminent now, but it still has not been, the show hasn't started yet.
Are you going to send me a pin or something, then, for winning that prize? I guess, right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I deserve a prize or something from WDW
Main Street.
I'll get him a I'm celebrating button from Magic Kingdom next time I get over there. How about that?
All right.
There you go.
Let's see. Disney Cruise Line announced two new ships, bigger than the Dream and Fantasy, and they'll be coming on board, or I guess being christened, if you will, in 2021 and 2023. No names yet, but they did commit to the shipbuilding company, I believe it's in Germany, to do that.
They're going to be bigger than the two boats we already have. They're going to be amazing. It's crazy. Yeah.
That it is. During this last year, we had the demolition of Catastrophe Canyon, which is a sad thing. I kind of like that whole area back there at the back lot at the studios. I understand why, and I'm excited for what's to come, but kind of the heart to hearken back to the old Hollywood studios that we all cut our teeth on, kind of sad.
That was very sad, but it had to go for, you know, things to move forward because it seemed like it stood out. Like it was like the only thing there was to do in the whole back lot. It wasn't the same. When it was still there the past couple of years, it wasn't the same because everything else was missing.
Right.
They should have just took the tram straight into there and stopped all the other crap.
Yeah. We kind of made it a slow, lingering death.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. A real minor one here. We had the infamous Purple Magic Band was finally available for sale on the website. Remember for when the Magic Bands come out purple, you just couldn't get it. And I don't know why, but you could get it this past year.
Man, my mother-in-law wanted it. That's her favorite color. So next trip, next Christmas, she'll be able to get her Purple Magic Band, and everything will be good in the world again.
Oh. This is one that I remember distinctly. Disney offered up their Disney After Hours for $150. You can get 3 hours in the Magic Kingdom, and remember that whole thing? And they kind of backed off on it and made it available at a discount for DVC members and I think annual pass holders.
Yeah, and it didn't make me mad at all, so I forget all about it.
Yeah, but I think it kind of – John, maybe you can speak to this. Are they even still doing that? I mean, I know they mentioned it, but I don't even know if they're still doing that.
You know what? I don't think they're doing that right now, and I don't know if you got – Dennis, I don't know if you got an email this last week, but I happened to catch another email from DVC, and they're having two after-hour parties that are basically free. February 24th, I think it is, and March 2nd. They're two Fridays. Mm-hmm. And I was able to book one night, I think it's the March 24th one, for me, my son, and my wife to go. I think it starts at like 8 o'clock, and then they're open until 1. And the regular park closes at 9 or 10. And then after that, it's supposed to only be DVC members out there.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so. I did get an email. I saved it, but I didn't read it yet. But I'll have to go back and look at that.
You might have to fly down then.
Yeah, well, the 24th of February is my birthday, so I got something going for me. Yeah.
There you go. Maybe the wife will let you go for your birthday, buddy.
Parlay that into a trip.
It's a Friday night. Normally, I wouldn't think about doing anything on a night because those will be my long days. I probably wouldn't get home until 7:30 or 8, but heck, I figured if I take a shower and get over there by 9, 10 o'clock, I could still get in some Haunted Mansions and Pirates of the Caribbean before 1:30 in the morning. So, hey, what the heck?
Do us all a favor. Please shower before you do that.
Let's see. We had enhancements to the FastPass Plus program. No more kiosks. Remember the kiosk that you had to go to get your – if you burned your three passes, you could go to the kiosk and get a fourth one for that park. That all went away this year, and you can now do it right on your through your My Disney Experience app. So that was a big change this year.
Yeah, that was one I never got to begin with. Like, the whole idea of the My Disney Experience was take the – the kiosk away, and then they end up adding a kiosk to get extra ones. It kind of like defeated the purpose for me. But I was glad that went away.
Yeah, I think it was just a Band-Aid, and they figured it out on the fly or whatever, but that was nice. And we had our, obviously, our third track added to the Toy Story Midway Mania attraction, which was exciting. I think you said you rode the new track this last trip, Doug?
Absolutely, I did. It was really cool, too. It was neat. It just seemed like I was getting to see something different than you guys. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing I'm excited about with the new bus system is that you get to see a backstage area. That would be the only thing. That would be the one thing that would be worth it to me, to see something different. And that's what was so cool about the track.
Yep.
I got, you know, the little new tunnelway, the new hallway that they have is really cool.
Absolutely. So. In June, we had Soarin' Around the World that was introduced. We were all waiting with bated breath to get to see the new Soarin' movie and the enhanced theater and screens and all that. And I think it was a hit. I mean, I only saw it once, but I really enjoyed it. What about you guys?
I got two shots at it, and I thought it was awesome. And I was not disappointed. I liked it because the way it ends at Epcot and the whole nine yards, I love that. But I hope one day, like we talked about, that they fix the original and you can go in kind of like Star Tours and don't know which one you're going to get when you go in.
Yeah, that would. I think I said this. I'd be shocked if that didn't happen in the 5th anniversary or 10th or 15th in the future. I think we'll see that. At least I hope so.
John, what say you? As Dennis would say,
you know, I liked it a lot. And the one of the aspects I liked best of it was when you're jumping from scene to scene, you actually go into the clouds and you come back out of the clouds. Now, the California one, that I always found it so jarring that one minute you would be over the, you know, a aircraft carrier, and the next minute you're on over a desert, and it was just, there was no blending out. It
no
was
transition.
Just, you know,
yeah. No transition.
It was just a clip. So yeah. I like that.
I think they learned to, John, you're right, that, you know, to do that, have the clouds as a transition was a good touch. It kind of makes it a smoother, you know, scene to scene, right?
Yeah, it shows you just what a Disney geek you are to pick that up. I bet hardly nobody else even picked that up. Yeah. Yeah, now I know
problems.
Yeah, you do have problems. Maybe the boathouse wasn't that bad. Maybe it's you.
No. I'm just too picky.
No, I'm just saying. But no, that is really cool, the way the clouds, you go in and out of them. And I don't know. The movie is awesome. And I'm just excited. I was excited to see the new one, and I hope that they do bring the old one back. And I was also happy that it did seem to move a lot faster, because I don't know if you guys noticed with Fast Pass in the past, with the regular Soarin', before they opened up the new theater for that too, even when you had Fast Pass, it still seemed like it took forever. This time with the Fast Pass, you were right on. It seemed it was so much faster. I don't know if you've seen that either, guys. Notice that either.
I didn't notice it, but I always notice when you go on the Soarin', and when you get to that last place where they check your Fast Passes there, you're right. It seems like you got a 15, 20-minute wait from that point, even with Fast Pass, mm-hmm. And that always did kind of irk me, but that's just me.
Yeah,
it's still the most boringest queue in all of Walt Disney World, but yes.
Now, I would say there is – I wouldn't say – it's close. We need to do the rate these. We will do it on one show. The boringness – no, you got to say It's a Small World is worse than that. It's a chain. It's a bunch of chains.
You never have to wait line very long for that. And it's so fast, and there's always boats to look at and people taking off. And then you can point at the people in the restaurant and make fun of them, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, you're right. There is a little more diversion, I think, and it's a Small World. I would give it to Soarin' as the most boring queue line in Disney World. I would.
What's up next, Dan?
All right, Smarty Pants with the dates. What happened on April 29th, 2016?
April 29, 2016. Let me see.
He's Googling.
No, I'm not. I promise to God I wouldn't do that.
No. You'd be afraid you'd shut the show off.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, that's true. you got me on this one, Dan. No, I was going to say there was a Star Wars Land was announced.
No, overnight the Eiffel Tower was removed from Disney's Hollywood Studios. And that was sad. I mean, you know, we all remember that as I mean, I don't know if I'd argue it was the park icon, but I always liked seeing that when I was traversing the Walt Disney World property.
No, absolutely. I love all that. I mean, I love that. That was one of the icons to me. That was the small weenie, as you call it.
As Uncle Walt called it, not me.
Yeah, one of the first great commercials we had for Star Wars weekends was they showed a sunset and the Eiffel Tower, and then an X-wing fighter came flying in, and the Eiffel Tower kind of folded apart. The X-wing landed on the landing pad, and it came back together on top of the X-wing. So, it was a great commercial. Yeah. So.
Now, I heard rumors of this. Anyone know what happened to it? I mean, did they literally destroy it, or are they keeping it somewhere, or did they cut it up? I heard they were going to make pins out of it. I don't know if maybe someone was pulling my leg or what.
No, I didn't hear anything about that.
Bueller?
I think they make pins out of just about everything that has any type of a following, so I wouldn't be surprised. So.
Could be. Let's see here. On May 14th, another milestone, and I know we talked about this, but Disney stopped selling Disney dollars. No longer can you purchase them, but if you have them, you can still spend them forever and ever at any Disney theme park, Disney cruise line, blah, 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 blah. But those are things that, you know, we grew up with during our Disney lives here, and they are no more.
That was very, very sad. I used to like getting them just to have them in for each trip to put them in the photo album.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about that. Great collectibles. And, you know, back in the day, you know, a great way to save for a trip to Disney, as awkward as it was with the such small denominations. But I used to love collecting them. And they had special ones, as we know, and they'd release different series. And it was cool to have Disney money. At least I thought it was. Let's see. The Town Center at Disney Springs opened on May 15th, and we always kid that everything's in the Town Center, but now that I've been there, it's so massive, I guess they were right. Everything is in the Town Center. There's, you know, dozens of stores and bakeries and restaurants and all kinds of stuff, and it's a pretty awesome place.
Oh, the Town Center is ridiculously huge. It really is. Everything is there. And again, I felt a little out of place in the Town Center. I felt highfalutin. The Grand Floridian should be connected to the Town Center.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting, at least I found that it was, where you kind of go from the old marketplace section to the, you know, the Town Center, and, you know, the architecture changes, and you're right. You're heading up to the high-class Beverly Hills area, and then you come out the other side by the Koch building, and you head down towards West Side, and you kind of get back to what we remember, you know, downtown Disney being. So it is kind of it's still, as you know, I've been there, I have my bearings, I know how to get around and everything, but it still kind of feels new. Well, it is new, but it just doesn't feel like home yet, if that makes any sense.
Now, it's beautiful, and I love it, and I love everything they did with it. I like it so much better than Pleasure Island, because I'm an old fart now. But when you come down those escalators in the Town Center from the one parking garage, you feel like you're on Rodeo Drive. You feel like you're in Beverly Hills or something. I feel like Axel Foley on Beverly Hills Cop. Like I'm in my Detroit Lions jacket, and everybody's like, what's he doing here? He don't belong here. And that's how I felt, and you're right, Dan. When we all met up over at the other garage where we met John, our buddy, by the balloon and all, it kind of feels a little more like home over there than it does the other area. But I cannot wait to go there enough to make that area feel like home to me.
Yeah, it's just going to take some time. You're right, I think, Doug. And, you know, with time, it'll just, you know, it'll be all part of one thing. But, you know, we just have such strong memories from the way it used to be. It's hard to not accept, but just get used to the new areas down there. It's just one of those things.
Real quick, we'll talk more about this on Sunday if you want to, but and I've got to get the name of the store from my wife, but we walked around quite a bit on Saturday. There is a store in that Town Center that is right. You guys have been in Old Navy, right? I'm sure.
Yeah, John, we're allowed in Old Navy.
Okay. Well, it's a lot like an Old Navy, but it's all Disney stuff. And so they have T-shirts. They had T-shirts at $14.90, $9.90, and $3.90. And they had some, they weren't necessarily straight Disney World t-shirts there, but there was a lot of movie characters like Monsters, Monsters U, and Up, you know, a lot of Pixar movies and stuff like that with the characters on there, and actually some really unique stuff, and quite a bit more for my wife than for me, but she loved the place, and we got three shirts for $45, which is a fantastic deal anytime you can do at Disney Springs.
Those are like outlet prices, Sean. That's real good.
Yeah.
Listen
and they weren't
blaming on his wife, Dan. Yeah. Huh?
They weren't. They, like I said, they weren't, you know, the Disney World t-shirts, but they were themed more specifically to movies and stuff like that. But still, some fantastic characters and some stuff that you're just not going to see other places. So. I've got to get the name of the store for my wife. So.
And then, while you're on it, John, what did you do? You ran over to the Coca-Cola store too. You roamed around Disney Springs.
Yeah, we went there. We went to that store. We went to the new dining place, or the I forgot the name of that one too, but the one with the dining homeware cooking stuff inside of it that just opened at a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked about Disney or Disney Home or something like that.
Yeah, we went in there. We spent probably a good hour at the Coke store. Got a picture with the polar bear and went up and down the ramp and took pictures from the top deck and all that. And then ended up with, I think, seeing the future of nighttime shows at Walt Disney World. We saw the drone show at Disney Springs. Utterly incredible. So.
What was so incredible about it? Like, what was the special?
It's not necessary. This show is not the. It didn't really have a great beginning and a great ending. There was no like climactic event in the show. Just the technology of these drones and the fact that they can make them fly in formation like that. And I think me and my wife spent the hour and a half driving home talking about the different things that we could see. I'm envisioning like.
Like you couldn't even follow the guy in front of you in a straight line, and this guy is flying these drones around each other.
It was incredible, man. I could see like 40 or 50 of them flying in formation, making a Death Star. Well, of course, they went to Star Wars with us, but making a Death Star, and then two or three of them making an X-wing fighter and flying into the Death Star, setting off, you know, the photon bomb and blowing up the Death Star, and fireworks coming out at the same time, and it just like. There's so much that they could do with this technology. It's incredible. But boy, is it a little freaky when they all come out at the same time. We were actually at near the base when they flew out, and it sounds like a swarm of killer bees coming out. So.
Wow.
Now, did you get any video or anything of it?
Yeah, I put it up. Nobody pays attention to my Facebook, I guess. So, yeah.
I'll have to. Well,
it has to be on our Facebook for it to be.
I did put it up on our Facebook. Thank you very much.
Just to let you know, between me, you, and Dan, there's something happened this week. It's called Christmas. We had family in, so I think that's kind of what happened. We haven't been, you know, able, and that's your job. Facebook is yours now.
Yeah,
so you need to let us. You need to let us know when something important like that's up on the site.
All right.
Want to wish everybody happy birthday. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'll repost it again. And actually, if you go into the store near, goodness gracious,
there's a store down there called Goodness Gracious now.
Yeah. The one by the Disney video game joint. What's the name of the dang thing?
Disney Tech.
No, the one that needs to close down. That was going to become an NBA restaurant, and now is.
Disney Quest.
Yeah, Disney Quest.
Disney Quest. There's a little store at the bottom of the Disney Quest, and they actually have one of the drones in there that you can go in and take a look at. And
oh,
so
you can
get an idea of what it looks like. So yeah, I've got pictures of that too. So I'll repost. Actually, I'll probably talk to Bob about making an article up about it. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that stuff. I mean, we said Doug, you know, saying that. He feels that was part of the holdup for the show over at Animal Kingdom. And, yeah, this technology is going to just push things to the – you know, we're going to see things in the coming years that we really haven't even dreamed of. I really mean that.
No, I can't wait myself.
Yeah. Go ahead,
John. I'm sorry. I'll repost the video and stuff, but just so you know, the video does not do it justice. It's hard to describe just the – almost impossible to imagine the way these things move and fly in formation and light up the sky like that. So, but I'll repost it, but you probably won't get that great of a idea just from watching a phone video, but I'll do my best.
It'll give us an inkling, but you need to see it in person to truly appreciate how, great this thing is.
Exactly.
So. Yep. Yeah. And I wonder, it kind of makes you think, is there individuals flying? It has to be all hooked up to computers. Nobody could probably fly them that good as a group of people. They have to all be computer-esque.
Yeah. It's probably synchronized with some computer program where they all, turn at the same time. Because you're right, Doug. I couldn't imagine 60 men and women in there individually flying them. Something would go wrong,
Yeah, they'd have to be the Blue Angels of drones.
No, they fly like a flock of birds or a school of fish flying, swimming in the ocean. They can obviously tell where other ones are, and like I said, it's almost a little freaky. It really is.
Flock of geese.
Yeah. Let's see, a couple other things. Our Pangani Forest Exploration Trail is going back to its original name, Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail. So those folks that, knew it as Gorilla Falls will now know it as Gorilla Falls going forward. So that makes me happy.
Well, I like nostalgia, so bring back the good, bring back the old name to a couple things so we have some good memories.
Well, and it just makes sense. Yeah. What does everybody say? Where are the gorillas? Well, of course, they're at Gorilla Falls, right? If you say Pangani Forest Exploration Trail, people look at you like you got three heads.
Yeah, they could say Gorilla Pangani with Gorilla Falls. Like, it should all be in the same – You know what I'm saying there.
Yeah, I do. Let's see. On June 21st, of course, one of the best attractions ever to – make its way to Walt Disney World. Frozen Ever After opened over at Epcot.
I'm glad you realize that.
I say that without cheek and tongue.
Tongue went through the cheek on that one for you.
Let's see.
But to John, if you watch John ride it, you would think it was the best ride that ever lived. I mean, of all his
truly amazing.
Yeah, of all his photo passes, I don't think any picture looked more amazing than that one, man. I mean, he looked like he just discovered the light.
Yeah. He heard they have bear flights over on the other side or something. Something was going on in that picture.
It looks like they told him Le Fin de Mon is no longer being sold at Epcot.
Let's see. Disney also announced this year a new family raft ride over at Typhoon Lagoon, and we talked about that a few shows back with they're building a new water park out there on International Drive. And I guess this is Disney's answer to that. What is it? Miss Fortune Falls or something like that, I think it's going to be called. I don't know. But anyways.
John should know that.
I think
which one? The one at Disney Typhoon or the Lagoon? New one over at Universal?
About both.
The Universal one is Volcano Bay, I think. And yeah, the volcano's almost done over there.
Yes.
And then I forgot the name of the one. It's just a new slide over at Disney.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's Miss Fortune Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty big ride though. It might be just one, but it looks almost as long as a Slinky Dog ride.
Yeah.
Well, the park, huh?
Yeah. I think it is, made for what exactly John surmised it was to compete with or overtake anybody's, inkling of going to Volcano Bay or whatever it's called out there. But, for those that like the water parks, that's cool. Kind of a sad note here, as we all remember, on June 14th, Disney donated $1 million to the victims and families of the tragic Orlando shooting down there. And, geez, how time flies. That seems like, in a way, a long time ago. And it wasn't all that long ago, but that was horrible, and it's just terrible.
God forbid, and thank Disney for doing the right thing, for getting involved.
Yeah, we criticize them a lot, and we do because we love. But when they step up to the plate and do the right thing, like you said, Doug, they should be
applauded.
Congratulated for that. Yes, exactly. Let's see. A bit of good news here. On July 8th, the belly dancer returns to the Morocco Pavilion. So Hall is right in the world.
Yeah, nothing like making you feel awkward when you're with your wife at Disney World.
No, honey, no.
I'm not looking, I promise.
Yeah. Let's see here. A place that Doug and I briefly went into, the Abracadabra Bar, opened up next to the Flying Fish Cafe and over in the boardwalk, at Disney's boardwalk. So that was a little bit of excitement there.
No, we just wish they'd have had appetizers like we said when we were there. Might have stayed longer, and they got them after we left.
They listened to us. Yeah, and of course we had the Muppets present Great Moments in American History. It added to the outside of the Hall of Presidents there over at Liberty Square. And you said you caught some of that show, I think, Doug, when you were down there.
Yeah, it was really cool. Have you seen that yet, John?
Slacking. No. No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's hard to see it
from Canada. Yeah.
Epcot. No, but it was really cool. We really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was everything you expect from the Muppets. It's just goofy fun. And I kind of like it because what it did is it drew crowds into Liberty. It is a kind of a people eater. It does give you something else to do for a while. That's entertaining. It's a nice show.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool.
And like we always say, everything doesn't have to be an e-attraction. In fact, I would argue that some of the things at Disney that aren't e-attractions are the things that I like the best. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. You'd have enjoyed it then. It was kind of like Streetmosphere, but they were hanging out the windows.
But it's the Muppets, yeah. Now, how can you go wrong?
No, it was a good show. I'm glad they did that. I hope they continue to do more of this.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I do too. You know, them are the kind of shows that, you know, where it's they don't build a theater for it per se. I mean, I think they did something with the facade on one of the buildings or balconies.
Well, they just made all the windows open and closed. Yeah. All their heads pop out the windows.
But it's short money. I mean, it's not like they're spending, you know, $3.2 million to, you know, a theater for it, where they can cycle this out, or if it gets a little old in the tooth, they get rid of it, or maybe retire it for a while and come up with something else. You know what I mean? They can change things out, you know, these little, diversions or whatever you want to call them. Well, I would call this more than a diversion, but, you know what I mean.
No, it's good. I think it makes it kind of makes the Hall of Presidents – more relevant to kids. Like after you see that, it'll draw you into the Hall of Presidents. It ties everything together. There is what I like about it.
Absolutely. We also talked about the fact that Sunshine Seasons discontinued breakfast service, which I think we were happy about, generally speaking. Am I right on that, or am I misremembering that?
No, it broke my heart. It wasn't long enough to either affect us either way, so it really didn't matter.
I know. Another sad one, unfortunately. I mean, of course, the horrible incident with the alligator down there, which was, baffling and befuddling and hard to understand. And, you know, people were on all sides of this issue, a tragedy that it was, but it happened. And, Disney has dealt with it. And, our Disney World looks a bit different now with some of the fencing and stuff that's gone up around the resorts and around the waterways, I should say. But I think that, at least my opinion, they did it, tastefully, and it's nothing too outrageous. But, obviously, protecting the guests that go there is paramount, and they got to do what they got to do. But that was obviously one of the bigger stories of this past year down there at Disney World.
The sad part is it was probably the biggest story for the longest time, and I feel horrible for that family. I couldn't imagine. But anything else I say would only get me in trouble, so I just feel bad for the family, and I'm just glad we're moving forward. And I kind of forgot about the story until we just brought it up, and it's heartbreaking. But it's a tragedy that you don't hear happen too often at Disney World, and I'm so glad of that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? You just said you don't hear it happening too often in Disney World. I think maybe that was the only attack in all of Florida this year. So, I mean, it's not only doesn't happen at Disney World, that's just a rare occurrence to begin with altogether. If you see what I'm saying, it's weird that it did happen there, unfortunately. So.
With all of the alligators that are down in the state of Florida and all the water and all of the kids and people that swim and, party and you know, do whatever they do, living their lives. I mean, you'd almost think there'd be more, right, John? It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
That there was only one, and it happened to be, you know, in a world-class theme park.
Yeah, it's just tragic.
Yeah, it really has something to do with the fact that that alligator got too accustomed to people is what it really, really has to do with. I mean, because, you know, I live out on a river, and there's plenty of alligators in this river, but I go kayaking, and they go one way, and I go the other, but I don't. You know, I don't interact with them. And I think, unfortunately, that there were some people interacting with this alligator. So.
No, well, like people said, a lot of the guests were feeding them off balconies and stuff like that. And that's the stuff that, again, everybody can't be everybody's babysitter, but you have to be. And, you know, you're told not to feed them. You're told not to do this. You're told not to do that. But people still end up doing what they're not told, and then things like this happen, and it's tragic.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same dog, but I mean, I could give you an example. Like over there at Epcot, you know, we have the place that I'm sure you guys go to too. But when we get our filet from Canada and our cheddar cheese soup, we kind of walk diagonally towards, if you were leaving the park, and go towards the water there. And there's always ducks right on the grass way there, and there's shade and trees there. And it says right there, don't feed the ducks, don't feed the ducks. But inevitably, you see some zipper heads feeding the ducks, and then they all come, and they're all causing a commotion. And you know, why do people do that? I mean, you know what's going to happen, or if you have half a brain, you know what's going to happen. And, you know, people do it anyways, you know, is my point. And it's, you know, I don't know why people do that, but they do.
No, people do that, and somebody will feed the duck or feed the seagull, and you feed one, and there's going to be 50 of them there within minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be the one that gets pooped on. So, yeah, don't do it.
Exactly.
Please don't do
it. It's rude. It's rude. It's not cute, you know? I mean, you've seen a duck before, or at least you probably have seen a duck before. It's just a duck. Leave it alone, you know?
No, we had it up the one time with the little tiny fidge birds, the little baby birds. And you throw it out to them, and then next thing you know, 15 or 20 of them is coming. And you think it's cute where they're all fighting it. Like the guy and his sons are throwing it, and they're all fighting over the French fries. And then next thing you know, they're all bothering me. And then I'm with my brother-in-law, my godson and all, and I speak up and start yelling at them, and I'm the big bad guy. And the guy's asking me what my problem is, and my problem is you're an idiot. Because now I'm dealing with you because you're done eating your cold French fries that I have to deal with these birds. I just got my food, dude. So you're done eating and you're ready to leave. I heard you five times sucking on that soda where the air is coming out the bottom of the straw. So now you're ready to go. Now I'm stuck with all these birds begging me for food. I said, and I'm the idiot. You know, I mean, am I wrong now?
No, you're right. That's why they put the signs up. I mean, it's to keep order. I mean, you know, there used to be that problem around, not that I eat there all the time. What is it? When you go into Epcot on the left, Electric Umbrella.
Yeah.
And actually, I found out, or I think that somebody wrote a story about this, but they actually had to, they put in, what do they call them? Birds of prey, their calls or whatever. And they actually have those calls going in over the speaker system to keep the seagulls or whatever type of bird was there. Because it was getting so bad, people were feeding them there, that they were coming in. Like John said, they were, you know, causing a mess to other guests, let's just say, and causing an uproar, and it was affecting, you know, people to be able to eat their food in peace without a flock of angry seagulls flying overhead.
Exactly, and the thing is, don't get me wrong, I'm an animal lover. Like, we have the job I'm on right now, the job that we're doing in Camden has the birds are stuck in the building, all the little birds. So I'm sitting there stressing over how they're getting water, so I made a little bird bath area for them to drink. Until the knuckleheads get them out of the building. Because what happened is they take the buckwheats down, and now all the birds are stuck in there. And you're worried about them starving and all this other stuff. But when you're outside sitting in an outside eating area, because we have like a couple little store areas, like outlet malls that have sitting areas and stuff like that. And then they'll have food trucks and all that stuff. And the same thing, you get the knuckleheads that decide they want to throw all their food to the birds, and then you're stuck with everything. And it just think of others when you do this stupid stuff.
Right.
And my brother-in-law is like calming me down, trying to get me off the roof when we were down there this last trip. But it's like it really PO'd me because, like I said, they were leaving, and now I'm stuck with all the stuck with everything.
Right. And imagine if 10 people did that. You know, it'd be crazy. But you know, if people just do the right thing, as we say, it'd be better off.
Yeah, you imagine you're sitting at the Brown Derby, sitting outside of that outside restaurant, and somebody decides to start luring the birds in by throwing food all over the place out there. How happy would you be?
That would have made Boathouse over the top if I would have had a seagull attack me during the meal. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously dozens of other things that have happened at Disney over this past year, but that was some of the highlights and some of the favorite things, or at least stories that I recalled. And like I said at the beginning, it's just amazing that, you know, every day or every week, however you want to measure it, there's always something happening down there, which is one of the reasons I like it. It's always an ever-evolving place and makes it fun to go to.
Oh, the crazy part, every other month there was a restaurant or a store announced at Disney Springs, which was awesome. I mean, we were just talking about, as crazy as it sounds, because I told the story about the two idiots down at the parking garage at the Caesars when we went out to dinner at Gordon Ramsay's. And I know how you felt with the Boathouse. Like, I enjoyed Gordon Ramsay's, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be for my expectations what they are. The dinner I had at the Bonefish Cafe was better than Gordon Ramsay's. And I almost spent the same at Gordon Ramsay's that we spent for seven of us at the Bonefish. So I get your feeling there, John. But the point is, every time we turn around, something was open up in the Springs. But I was getting about as the two knuckleheads in the parking garage. Like, the parking garages that opened up at the Springs, me and Dennis were talking off the air for a while. They are just so awesome. And I was telling my sister-in-law and my mom tonight about, because I was telling her a story about down there, how awesome those garages are, how safe you feel in them. Like, I'm walking down here, and I'm looking over my shoulder scared to death. You're in the parking garages at Disney. Do you ever think of anything going to happen there?
No, and it's probably wrong on our part to do it. But you're right. I feel pretty safe. I do.
But you see security, and you see things everywhere. And how cool is it to say three spots here, five spots there, 10 spots there? It ain't like the casinos were built with a 50-cent piece.
No. No.
I mean, the Revel was a $2 billion casino, and the garage looked like something that was built for a local Sears department store or something, you know? And it's sad. And it's just – so we got all that at the Springs. And then just imagine next year, guys, what's going to come with the Avatar Land, the Star Wars Land, Toy Story Land. And then I'm sure there's going to be more announcements with Disney hotels. And I just think it just begun, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, going forward, we're going to see all that stuff and more. And in fact, I think we might do a show on this. What do you think?
Yes, yeah, well, it's going to kind of be next week. We're going to do our Disney living list. And we don't call it the other name because it's not good.
Right.
But we're going to do our living list. We're all going to say 10 things that we want to do before – why we're still here, and we're going to talk about some of the things we're looking to come to the parks in the future that we're looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
So, John, you got anything else you want to say? You're talking way too much.
I know. No, I just wanted to say, you guys aren't the Star Wars geeks, but I know you heard the news today that Carrie Fisher died today, and she was probably my first movie crush I ever had in my entire life. So Princess Leia was always a great heroine, and I think she did a great job playing her, and I'm going to miss her. So may the Force be with you, Miss Princess Leia. So.
Oh, I was so sorry to hear that. That came out of nowhere, and it was like she was only – and I love that we say this now, but she was a baby. She was only 60 years old, you know what I mean, in this day and age.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, it's gonna be a little freaky because she had finished doing her part in part 8 of the movie coming out next year. So when the next movie comes out next year, you're gonna see her in that movie. So that always freaks me out a little bit. You know,
yeah.
Somebody passes away a year before. And I think Robin Williams with the last Night at the Museum movie was like that, too. So, but
yes.
Yeah. Well, the one that got me was the Paul Walker from the Fast and the Furious, because I admit I'm a geek with that. I love all them. That I love that whole series with the Fast and the Furious. I know it's not real, and they could never do that with the cars or whatever, but that's just a good guy movie, if you follow me. It's one of those movies, you grab a six-pack, you grab a hoagie or a cheesesteak, and you sit down, and your wife looks at you like you're a total idiot. But you guys know what I mean. It's just one of those movies where only a guy understands how good it is.
Right.
So – God rest your soul, Princess Leia. And really, John, you told me off your air your first crush was Chewbacca, but we're not going to get into that.
All right, you got me. You got me.
So.
No, back in the day, it was Princess Leia and Daisy Duke. So, you know what I mean? What are you going to do?
Don't even get me into Daisy Duke. Now stop it. You're going to tell everybody how old we really are. You're going to go back to Rhoda and Maude and all this other stuff, too.
But, I don't know. I kind of like Bewitched myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You but anyway.
No. Marsha. That's all I'm going to say. But
yeah,
anyway, that's going to be it for this week's this weekday show, guys. If you could, please go over to iTunes and leave a review for us. We'd really appreciate it. You can find John at, what is it, Beer Solos. Do you like beer, John?
A little bit.
Okay.
And a Star Wars.
You can find John at Beer Solo. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow me at Good Old Grumpy 6767. You can head over to It's All in WDW and catch our latest post over at our website. And you can find Bob at It's All in WDW. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Have a night. Nice night.
Bye.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you. Fine, how are you? Nice seeing you. How you come on? How to do? Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. How do you do? Same way we meet. How do you do? With everyone peeping. Pretty good show is your born. What goes up to show to come down? A penny lost is a penny found. How do you do? And you howdy back. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. How do you do?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good to see you.
How you come on?
Howdy!
Pretty good show is your bone. Stop jumping around. You're running out of breath. Why don't you sit back and calm yourself? You can carry on now if you must. Wonder what we like, cuz that suits us. How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. Pretty good show is your bone. Pretty good show is your bone. I'm looking for a little more adventure. He's heading for a little bit of fun now. I'm hoping for a little more excitement. Time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. The weather is good, the fishing is fine. Now what do you do with all of your time? Oh, a zigs and a zags, a twos and a fours. That's what you ask me, and that's what you know. Time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. He's looking for a little more adventure. I'm heading for a little bit of fun now. He's hoping for a little more excitement. Time to be moving along. It's time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Hey, Brer Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid as always. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Careful, Brer Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid as always. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Time to be turning around. Ha ha ha! Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Home sweet home is the lesson today. My, oh my, born and bred in the bypass, and I'm here to stay. I'm through with moving on now. It's where I'm born and bred in. The blind patch is where I'm heading. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. I'm back in my homeland, I'm sure gonna stay. I told you, Brer Rabbit, there ain't no place fine if you run from trouble. Home sweet home is the lesson today. Don't you worry, Mr. Bluebird, I learned my lesson. The briar patch is where you were born, and the briar patch is where you're gonna stay. One of these days, I gotta thank Brer Fox and Brer Bear for flinging me back home to my briar patch.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Brer Fox and Brer Bear are gonna get it today. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Brer Hungry Gator's getting his way. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactory. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Welcoming back Brer Rabbit today. We always knew that he had a way. He's had enough of moving on now. It's where he's born and bred in. The briar patch is where he's at. Zippity-doo-dah.